This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk. We're here to give you an opportunity to join the discussion about your money. No matter what mile marker you might have achieved or where you are in your investing life or saving life or gathering assets, however you want to call it, questions are always come up, and questions are always welcome here at Invest Talk. And we're heard every day, weekday on radio, up and down California, live online, streaming on InvestTalk.com, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes and other outlets as well. Anyway, it makes it handy for you to listen when you want to. What would your answer be if I asked you this question about contemporary social trends? The retailers at the mall are suffering at the hands of online sellers. People are shopping for car insurance online. Where are most customers getting their financial advice? Do you know? Everything else is going online. Shouldn't that go online? Well, a recent survey by Wells Fargo shows that investors are more likely to have a dedicated financial advisor than to use a website, a financial website for obtaining advice. Isn't that interesting? I understand that. It makes perfect sense. You know, you can't. Everybody is individualistic. What their needs and desires, their age, their retirement requirements, what they want to do with their life. It's kind of hard for a website to answer those kinds of questions because they need to know who the person is. And also, people who have more money are more likely, obvious, to have an advisor than people who don't. People over 100,000 versus less than 10. That, to me, that's a silly question. Of course, that goes without saying. You don't even have to ask that. Anyway, the report adds that retirees and investors with $100,000 or more always or most of the time have advisors. Not just sometimes, most of the time. Well, I'm sure they're very interested. I'm a registered investment advisor, so I'm one of those people that these individuals would go to ask for investment advice. And I hope it's convenient for them. I try to make it so. And I try to make it so via the radio show and in-person meetings. And I'm going to be meeting with people tomorrow in the San Jose area. So anyways, our listen line is always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can get your questions no matter when you want to ask them. Here's a question that came in earlier.
Hi, Steve and Dustin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What's your valuation on Formanite Corporation? The ticker symbol is F as a France, R as a Roger, M as a Mary. I don't own it, but was looking for your opinion. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so the symbol is FRM as a Mary. FRM, and that it's Formanite Corporation. You know, this is a new one to me. I have not ever looked this company up. The reason being, it's really, really, really tiny, $340 million. But it still should have showed up on some of my screens, but I've never seen it. It provides specialized technical services to the oil and gas industry worldwide. So specialized technical services. It's a very small company, does about $150 million a quarter. The sales growth has been pretty spectacular, up 35% this most recent quarter, 40% for the quarters before that. So it's really doing well as far as growth and sales. Earnings are likewise doing well. It made 37 cents a share in 2013. 2014 is going to make 46 cents. That's 24% increase. And then next year, it's going to be up another 48% to 68 cents a share. The stock is at $9.05. It's fallen from $12.50 in February, and then it fell pretty hard back to $9, right where it is now, in April. Then recovered to $12. In July, now it's back down to $9. So you can see it's moving up and down, and yet the earnings and growth and sales have been pretty stellar, pretty consistent on the upside. So what's 68 cents a share worth? Do you give it a 10 PE? Well, that'd be $6.90. If you give it a 15 PE, that's right where it is now, about $9. But shouldn't it get a higher multiple with the growth rate it's having? You would think it would. Doesn't have a lot of debt. But the return on equity is pretty low, only 11%. It's not terribly low, but it's pretty low for the... So you're not getting a really good return on equity. I'd like to see it at 17% or higher. And this is at 11%. So it's a good company, no dividend. But it's a good, solid, growing little company. And this is the price, if you're going to buy it, this is a lot of support, right around $9. And it's here, it's $9.05. It was down 18 cents a day. So don't think it... You know, that's, what, 2% down today. So you might want to be careful and wait a little bit to see some strength come into the stock before you buy it. But this is the area that it's been before, fell down to this in April and bounced up. So you have a good shot of maybe rising, but I would wait because it looks like a reverse cup and handle. That's what it looks like to me, a reverse cup and handle on the chart, which is kind of negative on a chart. So it may have further to go down. I just be patient here. Don't jump in it yet, but it's a good, it looks like it has good fundamentals going forward. I did do a little bit more research on it. That is FMR, Furmanite Corporation. 888-99-CHART. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? 35% of older workers decided to leave their 401k money where it was following a job change. That is the highest of all the brackets of what you can do. 35% left it there. That's the easy answer, isn't it? You don't have to do anything, and it's the lazy answer, and I think that's why so many people do it. For 401k options, when you change jobs, that's one of our main talking points today. What kind of options do you have, and what should you do? I also have things I want to talk about that I think are interesting. One is the supply and demand of stocks. Just like any other service, product, whatever, stocks also are subject to supply and demand moves. Just pure supply and demand. Well, where has the demand been coming from for stocks? Besides individuals and besides who, there's one very large, matter of fact, the largest group of buyers of stocks in the last couple of years that are have decided the most recent quarter to slow down by 20%, they're buying. You know who that is? I do, and we'll talk about it. I want to talk about Russia. I want to talk about what they are threatening to do. More sanctions on the way. How about also in Beijing? Did you hear about the most recent survey of property values recently? I mean, this week out? We're going to talk about that. And I want to talk about European borrowing costs. European borrowing costs. There's divergence going on here that no one seems to have an answer to. Hopefully we can get to all those things, because that's a lot. Hopefully we can get to them before the end of the day. And that's what we're going to talk about, unless you make a call. The Dow was up today, up 60 points, just barely 60 points. But what's interesting is the Dow was up, but not the NASDAQ. That was down. So we had a mixed day. NASDAQ was down only 1 point, so it wasn't down a lot. And the S&P was up, almost 5 points, 4.9 points, 5 points. So the market had an up day, a little bit weaker than it has been in the last few days, and it's coming right up against its old tops that it made in July. So here we are in July. What's really interesting is you look at the Russell 2000, not even close to its old tops. Remember, those are the small caps. They're only halfway back up to what they were. And they had the deepest correction of all the indexes, the small caps did. That's not unusual. Small caps, small companies, the high growth companies usually lead up and down. And it's surprising the NASDAQ is doing very well. Remember, it's NASDAQ 100, the top 100 companies. They've done very well, but not the smaller ones in the NASDAQ. So what you have is you have divergence here where the big companies, big tech companies moving up. Small tech companies, not. So they're moving. They've been very weak. What does it mean? I have no idea. I'm just observing what's happening. Try our free personal risk analysis tool. It's there for you at investtalk.com. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's really easy. There's only very few questions that are not personal, and you can determine what your risk level is, your risk that you want to take, what risk you want to take in the stock market. So, you know, it gives you a little bit more understanding of who you are. See, some people don't really know how much risk they're comfortable with, but this little risk analysis tool will help decide that. Just look for the free personal risk analysis on investtalk.com. This is Invest Talk on Wednesday. We're here to help. Bring your money topic to us, 888-99-CHART.
As InvestTalk continues, we remind you of some of the resources available to our InvestTalk insiders. A list of hedging vehicles, for example. You get your copy, become an insider. Sign up for free right there on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jeff in Escondido. How you doing, Jeff?
How you doing, Steve? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank
really
you
enjoy
much.
Your radio show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I've got a stock here for you to look up. I have it, and it's not behaving too well. It's AREX.
Okay.
Approach Resources. It's an oil exploration company in the Permian Basin in Texas.
Yeah, it isn't, is it? Looking at a chart, you know, when you're telling me the symbol, I pull up the chart and the fundamentals. It's engaged in the acquisition, exploration, production of land, natural gas in the Permian Basin in West Texas. It's a fairly small company, $689 million. Sales growth has been pretty dramatic. Earnings growth has been pretty dramatic. For instance, in the most recent quarter, up 74% sales growth. 70% before that, 66 before that, 34 before that. So the trend
pretty
is
good.
Yeah, the trend is
rising. Why is it going down?
Well, one of the problems is the return on equity is only 3%. That's very, very low.
Oh, no.
So they're probably I can't tell exactly from what I'm looking at, but it looks like they're spending a lot of money but not getting a great return on their investments, you know, the land and stuff. They are getting higher growth, which is driving more and more income, but, you know, something's not quite right with the return on equity. I mean, PE is at 27, but it's going to make $1.07 next year from 88 cents this year.
You know, I noticed the shorts. I had it went up to 21 and it dropped back down to 17.50.
What's really
got a huge short interest.
I was just going to say that there are 9 days short interest on it. That's very big. And for everybody else out there, the average volume on a day is like 850,000 shares.
Uh-huh.
And you multiply it times 9, that's like what? 10 would be 8.5 million. So 7.8 million or 7.5 million, somewhere in there, of their trading of their shares are short, meaning that these people expect it to go down, and it has 35 million in the float. That's more than, that's about 10% or more.
That's pretty high.
That's very high. So a lot of people think something's not right, and we had to do some research then, because the fundamental numbers
about it, because I thought it was a good company, and
The numbers tell you, the numbers I've just given you tell you this company looks good. Right? Fundamentally, it looks good.
Yeah, I think it's undervalued.
It is very far undervalued if these numbers are correct, and I'm sure they're correct. When you have a company growing, you know, 60, 70% in sales, it should be selling for 30, 40% PE, and this one is not.
I don't understand why Wall Street's punishing it.
Yeah, I can't tell from the quick look I'm having here, but there's something going on that we have to figure out. The return
on
equity.
Know what it is.
Yeah, that return on equity is my first clue, Jeff. Why is it only 3%? Why? And because it should be much higher. That would be my first place.
Too much money. I mean.
Yeah, it sounds like they're spending more, but it could be acquisitions. That's a good thing. Appreciate the call, Jeff. Thank you very much. AREX was the symbol of everybody. Approach Researches. Resources. This is the best talk. We're here to help you answer your pressing money questions. There are a variety of choices in the mutual fund marketplace. There are no low funds, run-in loads, all kinds. We're going to talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, the case for sticking with a strategy. That's our talking point for Thursday, August 21st. We hope you'll listen to that podcast. And be sure to try our new free risk analysis tool. You can tell a lot about your appetite for risk. Just look for the blue box on the home page for this free personal risk analysis on investtalk.com. Invest Talk continues on this Wednesday, the case for sticking with a strategy. That's our talking point for the next program, and we hope you'll be here. Got a question today? Why not talk to Steve about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
Okay, 401ks. When you change jobs, you have four options of what to do with your 401k. Four. Now, I'm going to tell you which one I think is the smartest one, but, you know, I'm going to tell you the options, and I'm going to tell you which one I think the most popular one, I think, is only because people are lazy. And that is, the first one is you can leave the 401k in the old plan. Don't have to change it. You don't have to do anything. You can leave it there. I think people default to that one, which I think is not a very good idea. Not a good idea. You can also roll it over into an IRA. This is the idea I think is the best because you have complete control over it in an IRA. You can do whatever, you can buy or sell whatever you want. If you want to manage your money, you can, but you're not subject to the limitations of what's available in a 401k. Now, some 401ks, they let you use a brokerage account, but usually if the trading and buying and selling is very expensive inside there, where you can roll it over to a discount broker into an IRA and pay very little for the buying and selling. The third thing you can do is you can withdraw the money. That's a very bad decision. Very bad decision because you're going to be taxed on it. It's income to you. And you could be penalized if you're not old enough. So you can pay a 10% talent penalty and be taxed on it. That's not a smart thing to do, no matter how much money that is. And this is a common choice for people with small 401k amounts. Much rather see you roll it into, this is your fourth, your new 401k. You can roll from the old 401k and you work for a new company and you can roll it into their 401k. So you can do that too. But this is the most unpopular method. Only 2% of workers shifting money into new firms' plans. That's only 2%. The most popular, leave it where it is. I think that's not smart. It's not smart. You need to roll it into an IRA. This is my personal opinion, and I think it's the smart thing to do, the smartest thing to do. Remember, you have costs in 401k plans. You pay for that in the 401k. So does your employer pay for it. But why should you incur that cost? The cost is much cheaper in an IRA for you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can call. You subscribe for free at iTunes. It's pretty easy. If you have a question for me, you can ask at any time at the same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, my name's Aaron. I'm calling from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. I had a quick question. I'm new to all the stocks and shares and that kind of market. Is this the best time to invest in the market, or for a first-timer like myself, or do I have to wait for a better time? That's all my question. Thank you very much, and take care. Bye-bye.
Well, when a first-time investor comes into the market for the very first time, and if he happens to be coming in at the very top of the market and then it goes down, that's the guy who is damaged for the rest of his investing career because it's so painful to put money in that you saved and finally saved enough to put in the market, and then it goes down within a few months. And you don't, it's very difficult to recover from that pain because you remember it too clearly in your mind. Now, this is why I suggest, even though it might be best to dump all the money in at one time, and there has been studies that say it is, but only if you're a long-term holder. But, you know, I think some of these studies ignore human nature. And not some of them, almost all of them do. And the human nature is if you've been burnt once, you don't want to be burnt again. So that's why I suggest a dollar cost average approach. Is it a good time to be in the market? I'd rather see a bigger correction, a nice strong correction, and buy when everybody else hates the market or when everybody else is sold. But we haven't seen one of those kinds of corrections since summer 2011. Very unusual. So my suggestion is, yeah, put a little bit in the market now, and then wait 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever you want. Put a little bit more in, and to try to get this dollar cost average in. And don't stop doing that when the market goes down. Matter of fact, when the market goes down, increase your investments, not decrease it. Over the long haul, that's the best thing to do. Okay, buy more. You want to think about it this way. When the market's on sale, buy. Just like anything else you would do when it's on sale. When the market's at full price, and that's what it is today, should you be buying that? And the answer is, well, it's possible. It's possible because the market tends to become overpriced. And some people would argue that it's overpriced now. Don't know if that's true, but it certainly is fully priced in. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. For all beginners, try not to use your first experience as what will happen forever. And a lot of beginners are entering the market when it's high because it's so exciting. Everybody talks about it. Everybody's excited about it. And they come into the market and they get burned. They don't do just the opposite. What you should do is when everybody hates the market, doesn't want to even look at it, that's when you invest. I will be in Northern California this week, tomorrow, meeting with a limited number of listeners and talking about their retirement accounts. I'm booked up in San Jose for tomorrow, but I do have openings Friday in San Francisco at the Hilton Union Square Hotel. If you like to schedule an hour with me in downtown San Francisco, you can do that. Just go to investtalk.com, click on make an appointment, and we'll work out the details. I promise that. This is Invest Talk.
Listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. How can you gauge your appetite for risk? Try our free risk analysis tool. It's right there for you on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Chuck in San Jose. He wants to talk about Bank of America. How are you doing, Chuck?
Fine. How about you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate the call.
Good. I really like the show.
Thank you.
Bank of America's got all their loans paid off, or they're going to be paying on them or paying them off. All that stuff is kind of done and over now. Is this going to make things better for them?
I have a feeling they're still going to have lingering problems. As a matter of fact, all the big banks, I think, are going to have lingering problems. And I'll give you an example. I mean, just recently they settled a big, huge claim against them for Merrill Lynch when they bought Merrill Lynch. And they have all these big banks have a lot of overhang from the financial crisis. They're still dealing with penalties and lawsuits. It's gonna hinder their earnings. Then you add in the Dodd-Graham Act, which has not been fully implemented. So none of us are quite sure what's that going to do to their bottom lines. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of these big banks are not too expensive. I mean, Bank of America, the PE is pretty reasonable. I mean, it's going to make $1.50 next year, and it's $15 stock. That's a 10 PE. That's pretty low. On the other hand, their sales are pretty anemic as well. They've been kind of down 5% last quarter, down 5% the quarter before that. So there's no huge upside potential, but it is cheap, Chuck. The stock is cheap. Okay.
Yeah. But would you say a year or so out?
I think so. I think, you got to wait a little bit longer, maybe another year. Man, they should have those, we've been waiting numerous years to get those Dodd-Graham things in place, whatever those restrictions and conditions are. And another year will give us a much clearer picture as to how much they have to pay and all those lawsuits. Now, I will say this, Chuck. The bulk of those problems are behind them. The bulk of them are behind them. Don't think it's not. I'm not suggesting that they aren't. But I think you got to wait a little bit longer to make, okay. You know. But I do like these big banks are not going to go out of business, and they're always going to make money. It's how much.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Chuck.
Thank you.
That's Bank of America. BAC is the symbol, everybody. BAC. Supply and demand of stocks. Supply and demand. Think about it. If there's not very many stocks and there's a lot of buyers of stocks, wouldn't that naturally make the stock prices go up? If there's way more stocks out there than normal and the same demand is the same, wouldn't that make stocks go down? Because supply and demand issues, regardless of the earnings, the fundamentals, sales, so that you've got to consider that there is supply and demand issues. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is there has one of the largest buyers of stocks in the last few years has been stock buybacks, corporations themselves, the companies buying back their own stock, and to the tune of $500 billion worth last year alone. $500 billion worth last year of stock buybacks. Now, don't get carried away. $180 billion worth was reissued to, you know, insiders and corporate, you know, CEOs and stock options. So, but still, $500 billion. Now, why has that been so large? Well, part of it is because of QE, quantitative easing. And how do I know that? Because over the last 5 years, debt at corporations has gone up 27% to $9.6 trillion. And of that debt in the last 5 years, about $250 billion per year has been used to buy back stocks. So half of the $500 billion they bought last year with buybacks, half of that was with borrowed money. So, why am I bringing this up? Because in the most recent quarter, buybacks plunged 20%. Buybacks by U.S. corporations went down 20% last quarter, one quarter. Now, remember, who's the biggest buyer of stocks? Corporations. And the biggest buyer of stocks has slowed down its buying. It fell 20% last quarter. And that might be part of the reason, not the whole reason, but might be part of the reason why the stock market hasn't done very well this year. It hasn't done nearly as well as it was last year. Maybe the reason is corporations are not borrowing more money to buy back their own stocks, or they're just slowing down their buybacks. Maybe they're saying prices are too high. Don't want to buy back. And it's interesting that over the last few years, corporations, the CEOs, have decided what was the best use of their money is to buy back their own stock. And they've also decided, hey, you know what? Money is so cheap, we should borrow the money. Even though, remember, the corporate balance sheet is very healthy. Now, on the other hand, do you remember what the market went up last year? What, 25% or so? Okay. Well, how did it go up? Did it go up because earnings went up 25%? No. Earnings went up overall 5% last year for corporations. So it wasn't earnings. Maybe because it was dividends were so high. Dividends were what? 3%. That's 8%. Between dividends and earnings growth, the market said that the stock should be revalued at, should go up 25% instead of 8%. Why? What that means is that every dollar's worth of earnings at the corporate level, the investor decided it was worth more than a normal PE. Certainly worth more than the PE at the beginning of the year, a lot more. So that is not unusual. It happens often. Sometimes investors believe that the same dollars worth of earnings is worth a lot less, and sometimes are worth a lot more. And right now we're at the a lot more point last year. This year, or what are earnings doing this year? What are the earnings are pretty much about another same 5%. Stocks aren't nearly going up nearly as much. So investors have valued what they think earnings are at this level. That's it. End of story. So how long, how much more earnings has to happen to push stocks higher? How much more growth in earnings has to occur to keep pushing stocks higher? That is the question. And can earnings do that? Well, then you look around the world and you say, earnings are not coming from the EU because they're falling into recession. China is having problems, but they're growing. You know who looks the best? Us, U.S., as far as economic growth is. And it's not that strong. It just looks the best. Time for InvestTalk 101. Don't load up on mutual funds. That's a play on words. Don't load up on mutual funds. There are a variety of choices of mutual funds out there. When I say that, I'm not talking about big cap, small cap, foreign, domestic. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the load that they charge, meaning the commission. Load and commission are the same thing in our business. Why they use load instead of commission, I'm not sure. It probably just confused everybody. But you don't want to buy a loaded fund, a fund that pays a commission to the person who sells you the fund. Now, there's different kinds of commissions, how the payment is made, okay? How the load is made. There are also pure no-load funds, which charge no commission. No front-end, back-end loaded, expiring back-end loaded commission, none. Now, the most common is A shares, what they call A, letter A shares. That's 5% upfront commission. Then there's B shares. That's 1%. Anyways, there are different shares. I don't want to get too much details. Different ways they pay the commission. You need to make sure what you're buying and how things are getting paid. Okay, that's the key. How do the fees get paid? Is there any fee? And I'm telling you, buy pure no-load funds. No front-end load, no back-end load of any kind, and you don't want to have any 12B1 fees. 12B is a boy, dash 1 fees. That's a sneaky way for the mutual funds to pay a commission, but they don't call it a commission. They call it 12B1 fees. Again, trying to be unclear. You don't want those either. Pure no loads. They're also what we call closed-end funds. Closed-end funds. Closed-end fund works like an individual stock. It comes out with an IPO, and there's a finite number of shares. Open-end funds don't have a finite number of shares. It's infinite. They issue them as long as they're buying, people are buying. Okay? So that's what a closed-end fund is. And a closed-end fund can, because of its nature, because there's a limited number of shares, what's inside the fund can be priced at a higher than it's worth or less than it's worth, depending on popularity. And for a long, long time, Warren Buffett has sold at a what we call a premium to its value. Net asset value of the fund, of the underlying equities. I hope I didn't confuse you there. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any money matter, it's time to check in right now, 888-99-CHART. Or you can make a personal note that will come directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com.
Steve and Justin give you an inside look at how the pros do it, the strategies and tools the professionals use to grow and protect money. That's just one of the recorded webinars that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
Now, I really want to get to a few other points before the end of the show. I want to talk about the Chinese property market. I want to talk about what the new sanctions Russia are thinking about if we put new sanctions on them. And I would like to talk about European borrowing costs. Hopefully we can get them before the end of the show. But first, let's go to Ken in Oceanside. He wants to talk about rig. How you doing, Ken?
Good, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Oh, I appreciate it. I really appreciate your guys' show.
Thank you.
Quick question on rig. As it makes money, but boy, it keeps dropping. I bought my first half of my position at 40, and I'm just wondering if it's to be, watch yeah. it. Don't hold on till it's finished falling?
Well, we own it too. So, Ken, I'm in the same boat. Rig Transocean provides offshore contract drilling. It's a $14 billion company. The chart looks terrible. I felt that it looked like it bottomed right around 38.50 to 39, and here it is at 38.72. It's having really a big struggle here. And it got as low as 38 about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I would be very cautious right now. This is kind of where you want to buy the second part, Ken, but I think you want to see some strength come into it before you do that.
Okay, because I was, of course, oil right now is what it is. I have another company that's doing the same thing to me, so it's, I don't know what to get in or get out, even though I love the product.
It's, well, they're paying a 7.7% dividend now. I mean, it's got.
I know.
I mean, it makes $7.17 a cash flow. It's going to make $4.52. This is the problem. They're going to earn less money next year than this year. That is the problem.
Yeah.
And so, but I thought that, remember, it's fallen from 50-something dollars. It's, you know, last year, it's $59.
Yeah.
And now here it is at 38. I thought that was a big enough fall myself.
But well, I love the dividend, that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, me too. I'm in love with that dividend. And it's an eight.
It's one more.
It's an AP, and I do not. I'm sorry, Ken. I got to get to Ben, who's
okay.
Next. Call tomorrow. I'll be happy to do it. Let's talk to Ben in San Mateo. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just, you know, I'm building a nice dividend portfolio over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm looking to diversify into, I have a lot of oil pipelines and things like that, and, mm-hmm. and little private equity stuff. I'm looking to diversify, and I was looking at Verizon, and the dividend is between, I don't know, it's around 4.5%
yep.
or something, and I just wondered, you know, over the next 10, 15 years, I mean, holding on to something like Verizon, what do you think about that company?
It will do very good over the next 10 or 15 years. It is growing slowly because it's huge. It's $202 billion. It's either Verizon or TNT or AT&T or both, okay, as far as dividend payers. Pays 4.3%. It's growing about 5% quarter after quarter after quarter. Earnings are going to be up 25% this year, another 9% next year. The stock has fallen from 53 down to 48. It has been as low as around 46 this year. And I have a feeling it's where it's going to be, between 46 and 55. I think that's just where you're going to have to get used to it. That's what it's going to do. You know, if we get into recession, it's going to fall. These are the kind of stocks that you're talking about, Ben, that you really would love to buy in a recession. Because they get
buy what? I'm sorry.
You love to buy these in a recession. Because
In a recession, right.
Yeah. For instance, Verizon in 2008 and 2009, the lows was $21 and $24 in those two years.
Boy.
Now, if you would have bought them then, your dividend would be about 8%.
Right.
but no one likes to buy things in a recession. Thanks for the call, Ben. I appreciate it. I like Verizon. Now, time to get through. If you have a question for me today, call us now if you can, if you want to get into the last segment, 888-99-CHART.
What are small cap stocks? What makes them act differently than large cap stocks? What's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of conversation about your money. Talk to Steve about any money matter. As we move into the final segment of the day, you can get through right now at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, Chinese property slumps deepens. The slump in the Chinese property values deepens, okay? Despite the government's efforts to revive the sector, stimulus, new data has revealed that the Chinese property values have been going down and continue to go down in July. Prices fell in 64 out of the 70 major cities. And they're down about 1% for the month. And that 1% was the fastest downward spike than the previous two down months. So there's problems there. Now, the government may step in. Remember, it could do stuff, and it may just do that because property is very, very important. Property value is very, very important to the middle class in China. In Russia, the Kremlin is apparently weighing an idea to ban the import of Western cars as a way to, you know, have to strike at Europe and America for our possible new sanctions we have. And if they do, they do. And I think that Russia says it will only do this if new sanctions from U.S. and Europe are implemented. You know who's going to get hurt the worst in this? Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz will be hurt the worst. They sell a lot in Russia. Finally, I want to get to this. European borrowing costs fall to unfathomable lows. It's hard to believe the rates that sovereign debt from the EU countries are paying. Less than here. And they're falling into recession. And they have huge more debt than we do. And yet it's cheaper debt than ours. Let's go to Cherie in San Jose. How you doing, Cherie?
Hey, Steve. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to get your idea on Blackstone, BH.
Okay. It's a very good company, a large company, $17 billion. Sales have been growing very strongly in the recent quarters, 55% recent, 22%, 120%. Very strong sales growth. Earnings went from $1.98 last year to $3.86 this year, but it's going to be $3.67 next year. So the earnings are going to be flat for the coming year. But it pays a 5.2% dividend, and the P.E. is fairly low. P.E. of 13.
I mean, they are doing everything right. Growth in both the top line and the bottom line, and the dividend pays pretty good. But lately, the stock is not reacting much to any of the costs. It didn't want to S&P or anything.
No, it's not. It's really not reacting very well. I will say this. It's a $32.88 stock, and they're going to make $3.67 next year. That's a little less, 5% less than this year. But $3.67 and that's a less than a 10 PE. That means it's cheap, and they're paying a 5% dividend. So if you want to buy a dividend paying stock, this one looks pretty good. But it is in the Sherry, it's in the financial section of the market, big finance, and so they have unknowns such as the Graham-Dodd Act, and that might be why they're under pressure. I'm not sure. Sherry, thanks for the call. I got one more call that I got to get to. Let's go to Harsh in Fremont. How you doing, Harsh?
Yeah, hi, Steve. I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the call.
Steve, I wanted to know if I can buy Apple, AAPL, and Gilead Pharmaceuticals, GILD.
Well, let's talk about Apple. Yeah, you can buy it. I think it's going higher. Broke to a new 52-week high. I think it's going to go higher. I think that their new phones are going to be probably a pretty big hit, and I think they're going to come out with some kind of wearable watch device. It's going to be a wearable device. I don't know, calling it a watch or iWatch or iTime, whatever they're going to. I don't know if that's a really what its best functions. It depends. And I also like something that's not hardware. I like where they're moving into talking to MasterCard and American Express and others to use their device, their phone or their watch, excuse me, as similar to as a credit card. I think that could be big. I really think so. So, yeah, I think you could buy maybe a position now in Apple. I do. Apple, we do own Apple in our stock managed accounts, and we've owned it for quite some time, but just so you know, we do own it. Time to close for the day. I will be talking to you tomorrow from San Francisco at the Money Show. downtown at the Hilton Union Square. Come by and say hello if you want. If you're in the neighborhood, love to see you. I'll be there Friday, too. And before the show, I'll be meeting with a limited number of our listeners, if I can. They're talking about their individual retirement views. If you'd like to reserve an hour for with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment, and I'll find time. We'll work it out. Thanks for listening today. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPB Financial, we hope you join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.